Good evening. Welcome to Ascension service, and running a little behind. You know when you can't find your phone and you can't call it because there's nobody around? You're like, hey, can somebody call my phone? So anyway, no reason, I normally would just go ahead and leave it, but we're going to play music through my phone. So just a little bit about that. So the first song, Golden Harps Are Sounding, is all the verses, but it'll start, we'll start singing immediately. There's no interlude on that first song. On the second song, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. It'll be on the board. And then the last song will be verses 1, 2, and 4. And we'll repeat the second two, the last two stanzas of that hymn. It'll just repeat. That'll be on the board as well, too. So, but those last two songs will have a pre-service or pre-music first before they actually start. So listen for Ken when he guesses and starts singing. You can tell on the piano on that, on the second and third one when there's going to be a, and then I think that one song he's got a little break of just music. So just, we'll try to maybe not put the words up right away when there's a break there. So other than that, thank you, Pastor George, for leading us in worship tonight as well as Sunday morning. Glad you had safe travels and you arrived safely. So that's all the announcements that I have. So let's begin with worship.
Right. I think now we're ready. Again, greetings and welcome all of you tonight and all of those who are watching from our live stream. And I want to say hello to my wife back home also to be a good husband tonight. But we joyfully come together for this wonderful night of our Ascension service. And often it's one of those times in the church year that is overlooked by so many today. And yet, for me, I just as I've looked and studied through the scriptures, it's one of the great pinnacles of Jesus's ministry. And it's something that transpires on the ascension that is fulfillment of scripture. And so it is worthy of our worship. It is worthy of our time and fellowship here and to God's word tonight. And it's ultimately about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father in a resurrected body, which then through his fulfillment, we too can look forward to that great promise of our resurrection to be in heaven and eternal glory with the Father forever and ever. Amen? Amen. Amen. We open our service tonight in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us begin with prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness today. And Father, we just pray now that, Lord, you would be present with us, that, Lord, you would encourage each and every heart here and listening tonight. And that, Lord, our eyes be turned to you and just rejoice in all that you have done for us. And that, Lord, you are the word fulfilled, the word made flesh. And, Lord, that you have done all this out of a great and an incredible love that you have for each and every one of us. And so, Lord, we give you thanks and praise tonight as we are gathered together in your name to glorify you in all that is said and done. Amen. Our opening hymn, 120. We'll follow what Tracy has for us. If you would, join with me in our confession of sin tonight. Our mighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for infinite mercy and ask you for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word. To the end of thy own grace, we may come to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon each and every one of us and has given us his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. And to those who believe on his name, he gives power to become sons and daughters of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. And he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, to us all. Amen. Our scripture reading tonight is from Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 23, reading in Jesus' holy name. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the workings of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and has seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all the rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills all in all. And tonight we joyfully join all of our brothers and sisters on this Ascension evening and confessing our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our next hymn is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, hymn 174.
Thank you.
And tonight's message is the ascension of our Lord, taken from Acts 1, verses 1 through 11, and also from Luke, the gospel lesson for tonight, of Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. Beginning with Acts, reading in Jesus' name, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands that the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' And so when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" And from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 44, "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I have spoken to you while I am still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. Beginning from Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.' Then he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he departed from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." Father God, your word is truth. We pray now that your truth, you would sanctify us in that, that you would touch each and every heart and ear that is hearing this message to now. And may all that I have say and do be glorifying to you above all else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is ascended. Hallelujah. See, one of the coolest parts of Scripture, I believe, is that Scripture interprets itself. Always, as we go to Scripture, we find that it gives us more and more depth to our understanding of God's salvation plan, just like our texts do for tonight. In our epistle reading in Acts, Luke gives just a few more details about Jesus' ascension than he gives us in the gospel lesson. And in both accounts, we find that Jesus moves from earth up into the sky, into the clouds, and taken out of their sight. But then we also find that both texts point us to the disciples and what their reaction to this was. As the disciples were standing there, I believe in awe, as Jesus was literally lifting in his resurrected body up off the ground into heaven. And as a cloud would engulf him and take him out of their sight. Jesus had disappeared from their sight, gone. And what we find is that Jesus, they stand there staring up into the sky as if Jesus was going to suddenly reappear. And they continue to stare and stare. Maybe we'd ask maybe how long, but it doesn't tell us, does it? But in Acts 1, 10 and 11, "And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood there in white robes." Heavenly figures, what a picture, right? "Men of Galilee," they say, Why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus was taken up into heaven and will come again in the same way. Then if we go back to Luke 24, verses 52 and 53, the disciples then, once Jesus is out of their sight and they hear from these men, they return to Jerusalem. And it's interesting, and I always think it's a very important part, that one, they weren't scared of these two men, but also they departed with great joy, it tells us. And they went and continually were in the temple blessing God. With these two texts together, you can see that we get a much fuller picture of this account of Jesus' ascension. See, Jesus is no longer with them, present anymore. And they have just heard, not long before our Acts text, in Acts 1, 7, it is not for you, or in our Acts text, it is not for you to know the time, season that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So we know that the disciples didn't know how long Jesus was going to be gone this time. They didn't know if he would return soon or sometime in the far future. You, like me, may be thinking, they'd be kind of sad, wouldn't they? They'd kind of be a little heartbroken that Jesus, after being crucified, coming back alive in a resurrected body from them, now departs from them, this time into heaven. And yet Scripture tells us that they're not sad. And why? It's because Jesus, in our text, performed a miracle that is often overlooked. It says that Jesus opened their minds, opened their understanding to all of the Scriptures. That means all of the Old Testament. And because he has opened their eyes and their minds to understanding the Scriptures fully, they know that Jesus, his ascension means that he has been taken to his rightful place. He is now in his rightful place, sitting on the throne over all of his creation. And he, as promised, will return someday in the very same way he went up to heaven. When Jesus ascended, he didn't abandon them. He didn't leave them helpless, or he didn't leave you or I, his children, in a fallen, corrupt world. But rather, instead, we need to understand that this night marks that Christ was glorified. Christ was crowned as king, and he was given all authority in heaven and on earth tonight. That's a hard concept, if we're honest, for most of us to get. But when we see all the bad things around us, we think, really, is he that mighty of a king? We see churches that used to proclaim the full counsel of God in perfect law and gospel preaching of repentance for forgiveness of sins. And today, many have abandoned every single doctrine of the Scriptures and even emphatically promoting sin and sinful lifestyles. It's not far for us to look to know that they are removing the most powerful name above all names from everything in our society. And I can't help but to think, and it's my flesh, I know, maybe you have one of those too, what kind of king who has all authority, who has all power, how could this king allow this to happen in his kingdom? How is this happening to the church that is built on the cornerstone of Jesus? See, it is in those moments, friends, that I find that that's when the devil likes to whisper in our ear, is he really the king of heaven and earth? And yes, the devil lies, saying things like, if Jesus really had all power and authority, wouldn't he still be here? Alive and well on this earth, teaching and ruling over his kingdom? He's gone, and he's nowhere to be found. Often, what I find is that we forfeit peace and confidence because it appears as though Jesus really has left the building, friends. Maybe you think that too. Only if Jesus were here. Have you said that or heard that? I wouldn't be struggling if I could just be with Jesus like the disciples. I wouldn't give in to these temptations and fears that I have. In church, I just simply say, like me, we need to repent. We need to repent and obey Jesus, the Word made flesh. The truth is, even if Jesus Christ was here physically and present with you right now on earth, the sad truth is life would be no different. During his earthly ministry, let's think back for a minute. Jesus healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised people from the dead. And Jesus preached the perfect gospel from his own two lips. And the lost souls of this world heard it. And for 3 years, Jesus, God in the flesh, proclaimed his kingdom into those who were under the devil's power. And yet, what happened? They still did not recognize or acknowledge him as the Messiah. But rather, instead, they persecuted him. They spit on him and cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Just days, which I find amazingly kind of ironic of our human nature, that only days after the same people were yelling, "Hosanna in the highest," in his triumphal entry. I often wonder, if Jesus were here today, what would our political leaders do to him? And sadder yet, what would the church do to him today? Would they say, "You're not welcome, Jesus," and cry out, "Crucify him"? See, the disciples who were with Jesus and followed Jesus, see, they even denied him many times. And one of them betrayed him unto his death. And I said it before, your feelings and experiences can't be trusted. And even though the devil is constantly on the prowl, pushing you to discontentment, trying at every turn to lead you astray toward unbelief, I want you to know a true reality. And that is, Jesus, if he were standing right in front of you face to face, it wouldn't change anything. But that's okay. It's okay because Jesus, the risen Savior, has ascended into heaven to be crowned at the Father's right hand. He now, understandably, has all power and authority over all things of this world and in heaven. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, in his glorious resurrection, returned in his resurrected body to be in God's presence, claiming victory for each and every one of you and me over our sinful nature. See, through faith, we simply come and cling to Jesus and all that he has done. We learn that by Jesus and our faith in him, we obey, and in receiving a great promise. See, Jesus, as your King, Savior King, your eternal King, is in his rightful place. Christ is seated on his throne at God's right hand, and we rejoice in that triumphant time over the evil one. See, it was by his death, and then this resurrection, which we wonderfully celebrate, and now tonight we come to the pinnacle of all of his ministry on earth, is that ascension. And I believe the ascension of Jesus, like I said at the beginning, is one of the greatest events that is overlooked by the church. See, Jesus' ascension should be celebrated simply on the basis that it fulfills his promise. It fulfills God's promise to send you and I and all people a powerful gift, a gift of the Holy Spirit. See, this Holy Spirit that he promised to give and that would take place at the ascension was for us, to comfort us, to be an advocate for you, who is for us, not only for us, but in us, and who is doing great things every day for you and I, constantly doing great things for the kingdom. See, let's remember, whenever you hear God's word, we have to understand that we have a powerful Holy Spirit that is present with you, giving you wisdom, giving you understanding of the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf, even when you don't have words to lift up. And as a repentant Christian, we are wonderfully marked by the Holy Spirit's wonder-working power for you and I to bear witness of the saving power of Jesus wherever we go. As the true gospel of Jesus is proclaimed and the sacraments received, he is present. He is so present with his church, and he even says that he will be with us until he returns again. Even though Jesus is no longer with us physically, he is here. I want us to hear that. I like repeating it because we need to understand that Jesus said in his own words, "I will be with you until the end of the age." And because of his ascension, Jesus is able to come to you right where you are. See, Jesus, when he was on earth, he walked from place to place. See, he had to do that to go heal, to go teach, to go be with the people traveling by foot and sandal and maybe donkey. And now in his ascension, we understand that our Savior King is limitless to move about this world and heaven in an instant. He is able to be in more places at one time. And from his throne, Jesus, your Savior, is the King who hears all of your prayers. The one who acts on your prayers to accomplish his good will for you and for those that you lift in prayer. So when the devil and the voices of this world are screaming at you, trying to lead you astray, saying things like Jesus is gone forever, there's no hope, there's no eternal glory, I say turn to the Word for encouragement where the Holy Spirit will talk to you. Come to your church. Come gather in the promise of where two or three are gathered in my name. I am there as your ascended King. Come listen to the quickening preaching of God's Word. Come receive the gracious gifts that he gives by the means of grace. And friends, I say stand firmly in his promise of mercy. God knows I need it every day. And whenever you hear or see evil and darkness overcoming the light, I say and encourage you to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' ascension, and the account of him disappearing into the cloud does not mean your Savior has abandoned you. Not at all. But rather, it means that Jesus has now fulfilled the Father's will and has claimed his rightful place. And he has claimed you and I as his own. Often, falsely, people believe when I become a Christian, it is all flowers, health, wealth, and happiness. But it's not the case. And it's not the case because the Word, it testifies that as a Christian, Jesus has claimed victory over you, and as his, it makes you a target of the evil one. And so we proclaim power, power of the blood of the Lamb, power of Jesus' name to take our stand and to successfully overcome the trials and temptations. Thus in Jesus, that no one can snatch you, no one can take you from his nail-pierced hands of Jesus, the ascended Savior. Romans 8:34, who is to be condemned? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding, indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake you are being killed all the day long, and we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And I love where 37, verse 37 changes. And it says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, Christ has done everything to fulfill the whole law of God for you. In his ascension, he is now seated in the heavenly places, actively and working until the Father simply tells him, go, gather your bride, bring the children home. So seek the things that are of the kingdom of heaven, I say. Where Christ is, he is seated at the right hand of God. Set your hearts and your minds on the gospel in seeking to help the lost sheep find this eternal King before he comes again. So it is simply my prayer, like we found in Ephesians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelations and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the work of his great might. Jesus ascended with his hands raised. He raised those hands in a blessing over all of us. And the truth is, he is still blessing you and I from his heavenly eternal throne until he comes again. And I simply say, with great joy this night, Alleluia, Christ has ascended. Alleluia. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in our Savior, the ascended Jesus, this night until his glorious coming. Amen. At this time, we will have our offering. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come to you again this night, knowing that you are the giver of all things, breath, life, health, and all material possessions. We give back a portion of those gifts to your glory. May you multiply them and use them for your kingdom's work and to your glorious return. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come to you this night. We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, our ascended Savior, at his rightful place at your right hand. And Father, we pray for our nation, we pray for our country, and Lord, we pray for all the churches throughout our country and in our communities and the worldwide. May they see and trust in you and in your word and in the ascended King and the eternal King, your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you to now be with those who need you this night, those who find that they are feeling hopeless. We pray for those who are struggling in addiction, that you would overcome that. And Father, we pray that you would guard and protect the children of our nation and around the world. And Lord, we just pray that your mighty hand would move upon the evil that we are seeing so prevalent in our world. And Lord, we know we can trust in you for all things this day and forevermore. We give you thanks in Jesus' holy name. Let us pray the prayer our Lord gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May you please rise for the benediction at this time. Benediction is from Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who has brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing that he may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And our closing hymn is Crown Him with Many Crowns. Go with God's peace and God's safety as you return to your homes this night. In Jesus' name, amen.